Hi, I'm Susanna Baker with Windward Magazine Podcast, and today's episode, we are visiting and welcoming the dynamic director of the PAM, Perez Art Museum, Miami, and Franklin Sermon is waiting for us upstairs, who is an amazing director who's really evolved this museum into showing a lot of global relevance while also remembering the community of Miami, all the different languages we speak and the cultures and the influx of immigrants that make Miami an amazing cultural hub. So come and visit me and you come to the PAM soon, but right now come and let's say hello to Franklin. Welcome to Windward Magazine Podcast. I'm your host, Susanna Baker. And today we're thrilled to welcome Franklin Sermon. He is the director of Perez Art Museum, Miami. Since 2015, Franklin has taken the helm of running the curatorial programs and leadership and the vision of its artistic exhibitions, and he has totally turned it into a cultural hub. And today we welcome you, Franklin. How are you?
Well, Susanna, thank you for having me. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Delighted to be here with you all.
Yeah, we're excited to have, we wanted to do a curatorial corner talking to, now you're the director of the museum. I know you started as a curator and the contemporary art. You are an art critic. You are an editor. You have had you've brought a global perspective to the museum. And you've also opened a lot of dialogue with the community. One of the things I love for you to tell us is, how did you embark in this artistic journey? How did you end up in the museum circuit, and why Miami?
Some questions there. Let me start at the top, though, because I think it's fascinating, you know, when you talk about who we are to the world. I mean, I think what we've done really well in the last almost 10 years, I believe, is lean into and tap into the foundation of what contemporary art can be in Miami. And what I mean by that is that we had a founding director, a guy named Jan van der Mark, who came here in the early 1980s, a very, very different time, right? And there are a lot of different people, and people maybe not understanding each other as well as they should, and a moment of great change, probably not unlike the moment we find ourselves in now. But he looked around and he thought about how art could be a catalyst for bridging some of the gaps between people. How art could be a way to perhaps bring people to the proverbial table to have conversations with each other, get to understand each other a little better. You know, the beautiful thing with art, right, is that when we talk about these kind of things in the context of the museum, there's always something there, right? There's always an art object or a painting, a sculpture, or a video, or something for us to focus on in addition to the things that we want to talk about. And I think that can be very soothing. I think that can be a very seductive way of getting people to find some sort of common ground. And we've tried to lean into that idea, basically. So, you know.
And you have. I mean, one of the things that I was going to ask you, I know I asked you three questions in one.
I get to.
What was your art journey? What made you go into the arts and the curatorial end? I know that you were with Los Angeles as the County Museum of Art. Then you went to Houston with the Menil collection in Houston. And then that kind of brought together the global perspective. And then coming into Miami, what made you decide this is where you want to be?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I would have to add, in addition to that, I spent 2 years in Italy, living in Europe and living in Milan, and being there at a time when big exhibitions like Second Johannesburg Biennial, the Fifth Istanbul Biennial, the First maybe Guangzhou. So the whole idea of us being in a frame of mind that was international, that was global, was this is my better time, this is where I come to. and wanting to be here is, you know, I grew up as a child coming through this place, not unlike a lot of people, on our way to the Caribbean. And to have that kind of, you know, meeting point, kind of jumping off point to land somewhere else is, I think, a part and parcel of who we are. That said, I did an exhibition in 2009 called Neo Udu, Art for a Forgotten Faith. And that exhibition came to Miami Art Museum. So I've been familiar with the institution for quite some time. And I think had a sense of its exhibition background and its founding background that is what allows us to be effective in the present. So it's a no-brainer.
You have evolved the narratives of the museum to have that global perspective. I just saw downstairs when we were walking the museum downstairs briefly, I saw how you were bringing together voices of European and indigenous art mixed together. Mm-hmm. The museum itself, the PAM, has really empowers the Latin American art, mm-hmm. Caribbean art, and the African diaspora art. How do you evolve the museum to continue with the global relevance of what's happening and also bridge it with the communities, the diverse communities and cultural communities of Miami?
I think that's the uniqueness of Miami. It allows for us to say we are looking at everything through a Miami lens, so to speak, right? The Miami lens is inherently global, is inherently open, I think, to a diversity of people and ideas and cultures. So what we say is that there are many museums around the world of international modern and contemporary art. We're very happy and proud to be one of them, but we also want to be unique in that conversation. What makes us unique is that maybe we chose to be the best at presenting the work of Latin American and Caribbean, and we look toward the African map.
You certainly do. I mean, you've brought in a lot of, also you've empowered some of the great local, amazing, renowned artists. Because as you say, we have the influx. We speak 127 languages in Miami and all the neighborhoods. I mean, this is where you, if you're, you know, fleeing from oppression from your homeland, this is where you would touch North America through the Keys or...
Many people.
Yeah. And Miami.
And we definitely have the best collection of contemporary toucans.
You do. I mean, I've gone to some of the exhibitions, and they definitely evoke conversations. And that's what it's all about. A good curator knows how to flow his narrative and make people, it doesn't stop. Once you exit the door, it just continues. It's like the beginning. And you have done that over and over and time again. Sure. Well, that's why now you're the director of the museum. And that's amazing. Running a major art institution, which the PAM is, during the cultural and political battles that are happening in our country right now, how does that challenge your museum? And how do you, what's been one of the most difficult decisions you had to make as a director to shape the museum during those imbalances of political?
I don't know. I got out of school in the 90s, right? And we were talking about issues of challenge, issues of globalism, issues of people not getting on together. When I lived in Italy, I think Yugoslavia had just torn itself apart, right? Four different countries, I mean, between Serbia, Albania, Slovenia. So that was happening there. Issues that we talk about in terms of the Congo happening at the same time. You know, we as humans go in cycles with these things. So what we're trying to do is just at all times be cognizant and aware of humanity. And at the very base level, what we're trying to talk about are issues that are important to humanity, be that abstract painting or figurative painting. It could be, or it could be the ways in which we navigate around a sculpture, like this Netto that we just passed downstairs, this wonderful hanging sculpture by Ernesto Netto that is filled with these kind of spices that hit you not only as a visual material, but also as something you smell. So, yeah.
and also has cultural relevance to the Caribbean and the spices and the economy that was built on the backs of many indigenous cultures. Yeah, so it really does speak. And that's something that you, that I love about you, because you brought to the PAM visual storytelling.
You're too kind.
No, it's, I mean, I remember when it was, you know, the Museum of Miami, and then Perez wanted to put his name on it, all the controversial after that. But the wonderful thing that while there was a major recession, and while he lost, though, his two hotels, the Viceroy and I can't remember.
You got stuff I don't even know.
Yeah, in 2008, when that whole recession hit, and you guys were opening up your doors, they wanted to see if he was really going to give $30 million in art and money. And there were seven boards of director. Everybody was supposed to give $25 million. And the only one who, and while losing those two hotels, they went back into receivership. And he moved forward and still gave the money and gave his art collection, Cuban art collection, and gave the money. And by all means had, he should have been honored with the name on the museum, and that's how he got it, because he did stay true to his work even while losing his own pockets.
George is a phenomenal person here, referring to George Perez. But you know, so we opened here in 2013, in December of 2013, and I came in fall of 15. So I can't take any credit for the, you know, foundation of the institution in that sense. And we had the opportunity, though, to build upon that. And what we try to do now is we work very, very closely. So when we talk about George, you can see in the exhibition downstairs a big new exhibition called Language and Image, all about photography, primarily from a conceptualist kind of stance, meaning that it is driven by ideas. And what we try to do is we go about collecting together. We go about looking at exhibitions around the world together, so that there's a synergy.
Right.
And I think that's, to me, that's the blessing of being able to be here at this point in time and work with not only George, but, you know, we have 40 board members.
Right.
In addition to the 200 people that work in the institution.
And in addition to the, you know, overseeing the exhibition, you're also part of the educational program for the youth. And which is an amazing program. It's not just summer that opens up and let's now deal with the kids and teach them. You do this all year long.
And I really appreciate you for saying that, because that is the truth.
It is the truth.
That's 90% of what we do.
Yeah.
And we have 20-something teaching artists on staff.
I, you know, between you and I started in 2008.
Yeah.
The art experience, because they say necessity is the mother of invention. And I lost my company within 30 days, a 15-year-old company, and I did not know what I was going to do, because the whole country was going through a recession because of the financial banks, right? Well, George was saying to his, you too, yeah, that's 2008. You were in Houston.
I was in Houston.
Yeah, you were in Houston running the Manil collection. So
Just a little part. I just had that modern contemporary.
Well, you know, talking about, so now that you say you were too young, what would the Franklin Sermons of today tell the Franklin Sermon? What advice would you give Franklin Sermon coming out of college?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, that's a good question, because it's the kind of question that makes you think, what could I have done differently or better? And, you know, and I think that's valid, but I also feel like I'm a big believer in our past and in our fates and when and where we meet certain people or come together. You know, so it depends on the day. There are some times when I wish I would have been a little bit more future thinking, maybe thinking about 10 years as opposed to only the year or two in front of us. And that's hindsight. And that's the kind of things that we all learn with a degree of maturity. I mean, there's the silly things like, you know, probably should have bought a little bit more art by the incredible younger artist that I was working with at the time. What are you going to do? Everybody has a regret.
Don't you feel like that? Every time I think of the cause that I could have had.
Oh, don't say it.
$1,500, the retina, I could have had for $5,000. I know. I started with the art experience in 2009.
Yeah.
We were the very first to do an art tour to Miami when there was only, SeaWorld and Parrot Jungle Island back then. That was it. You came to Miami just for those tours. Mm. And with the recession, I didn't know what I was going to do. And I saw these lights in the sky. I live in Buena Vista East, which is the design district. And Craig Robbins was having an art walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw 6,000 people. Mm. And I'm like, where did these people come from? I live here. You can throw a bowling ball anytime and not hit a person. And I realized that he got 5,000-6,000 people every second Saturday, but they were locals.
Mm-hmm.
I had a company for 15 years in timeshare marketing.
Mm.
And I said, how could he forget the tourists?
Mm.
And that was the opening and start of the art experience, bringing tourists.
Awesome.
And Bernice Steinbaum, who I saw here at an event that you had on the third floor. Yeah. She's amazing. We just did an interview on Bernice. She is a giant. She's an amazing.
Yeah.
She gave me a pair of slippers, too.
I'm sure they're special.
I know. And I have to tell you, what is your vision for the future of your museum?
So you touch on design districts, right? And we talk about change, right? So much has changed there. Craig continues to build a pretty, pretty amazing thing, no matter where you go in the world. It's very special. You know this.
Yes, I do.
You think about the growth of Wynwood. We think about what's happening. All right, there are other institutions now. So we've grown up in many ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things for us, the most important thing for us, is to make sure everybody, and I really mean it in the most cliched way, everybody feels as though they should have a museum experience. Same way people go to SeaWorld, the same way that people go to a basketball game, or even the same way that we go to a house of worship. You should have a museum experience. It should be part of everybody's development as they grow up. And that's what we're trying to be. And if we can be the place where that happens, then we're doing our job right. And what I look forward to is, because I know that since we've been in this building in 2013, that has happened. We have had the foundation, the Knight Foundation, support us in our efforts to bring in particularly younger people to the museum, that we're creating or helping to create a generation of children who are going to mature into adults who have a different relationship to art and culture and thus to humanity than the past.
I do love that because, I think children are a legacy, and one of the things that we love is always to empower our youth, with the arts.
Exactly.
And one of the great things about Miami is the creativity lies in every other corner that you turn around. You have amazing neighborhoods, and they're all almost self-segregated because of their pride and culture, like Little Haiti, Little Havana. You have Wynwood that used to be Little San Juan. It's thank God now the galleries are returning to Wynwood. It's changed a lot, but now it is pushing more galleries in, which I was happy to see.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that. You're right here. You are the connector.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do.
And I love that.
Yeah.
And I think also what's happening with downtown. Moish Mana, doing all the building that he's doing. I hope that it follows through. But we love the PAM. We love your curatorial direction and vision and leadership. And what would you say to someone who's doing an MFA or BFA? And would you steer them into a museum? What would you suggest and give them advice to do?
There are two ways I think we look at that, right? The first was say, the MFA, somebody who is potentially in a position to become a practicing artist, they can stay in Miami now, right? We've done large exhibitions on people like Teresita Fernandez. There's a great show up of Jose Parla downstairs right now. Both of these artists are from here, but they went to New York. And I believe that, you know, it's a little bit different now.
Mm-hmm. Right?
You can do your MFA and come back here
right.
and create a career from here. You can teach in one of the many schools and continue to make your work in a studio environment that is also one that has other like-minded folks around and creates a community of sorts. We have that. That's happening. On the other end, I would say that, you know, the thing that we're trying to do is we're within this cycle, we're not trying to make artists. We're just trying to make people who are empathetic and who think about others and also have a way of thinking innovatively about the way that they live their life. And by that, I mean just the very simple thing of looking at an art object,
right?
How do I look at it differently? Why do you see something different? You know, having these kind of conversations, those are the things that we're trying to provide. So it's very much a big picture kind of view that hopefully just cultivates a bigger life or a bigger way of thinking through the world.
So one of your advice would be to a young artist coming out of a program or art history major that might want to work in a museum as...
How we take that.
Yeah. Right? and to have an open mind, a subjective mind, looking at art.
Absolutely.
And try to feel how others may perceive it.
Absolutely.
Besides, I like that. I like that very much. And thank you so much
for
allowing us to sit here with you. We love you.
Thank you.
You're doing amazing. We love the Perez Art Museum.
Keep coming back.
And we want to keep coming back. The best is yet to come. And this is an episode of Winwood Magazine Podcast with Franklin Sermon, the dynamic director of the PAM. And please, you have to, if you want more art and more culture, and you want your children's children to have this experience, come out, visit our museums. Donate to our museums, make it an experience, a family day, and don't make it just for Christmas. You know, do it on different days and make sure you put the PAM on your schedule as a local, not just as a visitor. The collections change every 3 months, every 6 months, depending, and there's pop-up exhibitions. So don't think because you came here 3 years ago, check, no. You keep coming because you also want to support these amazing minds that continue to try to raise the bar based on your expectations. So come and give your opinions and your critique, but come and visit. And thank you again for letting me share Winwood Magazine Podcast with you.
Thank you so much.